This week, we have been posting a range of resources focusing on our MBA Construction and Real Estate programme. Fundamental to the running of our programmes are those who lead them, and I'm joined by MBA Construction and Real Estate programme leader, Marios Konstantinidis. Hi, Marios.
Hello, Andrew. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Very well. Trying to acclimate myself with the new realities, which, surprisingly enough, it's getting better than I thought. So, all good.
Good, yes. And we hope that that continues and things get better for everyone, of course. So, I mean, just on the MBA, first of all, I think it's worth mentioning that you yourself have completed an MBA. And I thought that would be a good place to start. So why did you study an MBA? And could you tell me a little bit more about it?
Yes. So thank you, first of all, for the opportunity. And really, it comes back to how much I wanted to challenge myself, yet reach at that academic level that I was sure and confident that I could take the knowledge and my existing experience when I decided to pursue the MBA and go ahead with it. So we're going back about 9 years ago. I was working within a financial institution, and I knew I reached that level that I was called upon to operate within the senior leadership team. And I knew that although I had the experience, there was something lacking. I already had a master's in finance, so that was a good point to start. And my expectations were there, but there was, as I said before, there was something missing as far as understanding the ifs and buts of operational excellence, for example, managing people. And really, Andrew, tell you the truth, managing and motivating myself. So I was more mature. I knew what I was looking for. I knew the challenges and opportunities of the environment and how I can fit within them. It was 2011. I decided to do my MBA. It took me 3.5 years to finish it up. And I never looked back whether that was the best decision that I had to make or not. It changed my life. It changed my career. And it definitely made me a better manager.
Fantastic. So, you know, we come full circle to 9 years later, and you're now the program leader for our own MBA. So talking about that program, what do students study on our particular MBA?
It's funny you say that. And yes, time flies. It wasn't long ago that I was a student, and now I'm leading the MBA. And it's exactly this element of a quote unquote freshness that we brought in this program with this new validation that we went through about 4 months ago, 6 months ago, building on the legacy of a very successful program that we've been running here at UCM, but incorporating new knowledge, new experiences from the educational part of it and the profession. Because as you know, all programs have to be aligned with what is required out there. So our students, when they graduate, they become competitive and knowledgeable. So within the context of the program, students have the core modules circled towards the business elements of an MBA, which is finance, management, leadership, strategic change and strategic management, and marketing. So we can call these the not only the core courses, modules, but also essential knowledge for somebody who wants to understand and operate within the context of management in any organization, and particularly for the built environment and real estate. Along with the core requirements, we have quite a variety of electives. So the students can have an opportunity to study the legal side of contracts and tendering, for example. or the students can have an opportunity to dig a bit more into contractual and transaction elements within the built environment and real estate industry, along with valuations, ethics, and the project, which is an inherent part of the MBA program, but it is the opportunity for some innovative thinking for the students to impress themselves and to elaborate on their own practice through an academically rigorous research piece and module.
Right, and you know, as you say, they're MBAs, they're linked to leadership and management. And prior to this podcast recording, we had a discussion about the MBA, and you were referring to its link to culture, leadership, and management. Which I found very interesting. And so I wanted to ask, based on that, how does leadership and management interact with culture? And can you give me maybe a few examples of how you might change as a leader in two different countries?
Yes, absolutely. And you know what, Andrew, this is the million-pound question, really, because tell you the truth, and because I have been reading and actively researching, I see a lot of academic and non-academic articles out there talking about managing, leadership, but very few of them really tackle this duality, this combination of thoughts and practices as one, to say the least. But also that really management leadership starts from one's own self. And in order to be a good manager, in order to be a good leader, you got to know how to motivate yourself. You got to know how to manage and lead your own self, not only in your everyday life, but in your departmental duties, your academic studies, your family, and obviously within the certain frameworks that are out there. And we teach within the MBA that you take these frameworks, you understand them, and you apply them into your professional environment. Now, inherent in this discussion is obviously culture, as you said. But this is because organizations are nothing more, nothing less than live entities. And they have their own life because they're made up of people. And if you look back into the basic academic notions of management, so what is management, why we need management, and I will quote the famous academic Peter Drucker, who said the seminal statement that management is getting things through people. And because people are the inherent engine, quote-unquote, within any organization, it goes without saying that organizations made up of people are live, are organisms, and they have to be managed and they have to be understood. And the basic idea to understanding any organism is how they operate. And this is the culture. It is an embedded, inherent element that you have to understand. And simply put, culture is the way things are done within any environment. And this has to be understood. It has to be analyzed, where it started, how it has evolved, and how it affects not only everyday life within organizations, but by extent, decision-making. So once you have this duality between management and leadership, and then you input and you see how this duality operates within certain cultures, being external cultures such as countries, or internal cultures, such as the specific organizational cultures within certain industries, then you can better understand not only how to operate individually, but also how you can operate by practicing management and leadership frameworks that we teach through these different cultures. So that was the long answer to your first question. The second question, and this is very important, thank you for asking, if I was to change something, in any country or any organization, I think the most important to understand there is that there are inherent challenges that a lot of us who are outside a country or outside an organization are very difficult to understand. That means that before somebody is asked to implement certain changes, they have to understand why the certain status quo of operations is as such in any country or in any organization. However, there are some inherent elements that have to exist as far as management leadership and its interaction with culture. First of all, they have to be, and really I would minimize them and highlight the three most important, according to my opinion. The first one is that you have to understand the history of the country or the organization. If you don't understand the history, then you don't know how it has evolved in such a way, and then you can tweak your model that you're trying to implement or understand what is needed for improvement. Okay, so that's one thing, the history. The second part that is very important is to understand the variability in cultures and how they have evolved through the years and what the overall culture is made out of. So you could see a lot of countries and a lot of organizations that have international elements of culture, and they are very tied together into a web, a cultural web that is very difficult to change. So you have to adapt it. You don't necessarily change it, but you adapt it. You improve it. You improve it according to the latest challenges, the latest opportunities coming out from the environment. And you literally go through a day-by-day, week-by-week basis of improvement, okay? But through the people, this is the most important element. And the final notion that I have to say as far as changing, I think, Andrew, the most important thing is to change ourselves, first of all, and then implement the changes. So obviously, nowadays, we're living through one of the greatest challenges that humankind has seen, at least in this century, and we all have to adapt and change the models of operations that we have gone through, but also our attitudes towards everyday challenges, such as dealing with not talking to people, not going to work, family having their own challenges with schooling or whatever have you. It is this pursuit of adaptation that makes us best. And through communication, through understanding each other's culture and uniqueness, it's how you make yourself better and how you portray this into your practice within your family, within your organization, and within your own country. Finally, as far as changing something, I would say that the major change that I would implement if I was called upon to do it in a national level, in any country, really, because I find this challenge to be an international one, is more investment into education and knowledge-based projects. I think this is lacking in the agenda, and there is more money spent in other, I wouldn't say non-important, but I would definitely say less important than education projects than the most essential one, which is educating our kids, educating our young adults, more money going into universities and research, because knowledge is the base for any culture and any country in order to be more competitive and pursue change and improvement in society.
And you come from a position of experience. I mean, you know, the program Leader Blog, which we are posting this week, you talk about how you grew up in Greece, and you've also lived in lots of different countries, Kuwait, the US, obviously England as well. So do you think that gives you, you know, a better insight into how you would maybe adapt your leadership or management skills in different countries?
Yes, absolutely, Andrew. Obviously, my exposure to different cultures, ways of living, operating as a young adult and as a professional has given me a lot of food for thought to be able to incorporate the elements of international cultures into my own practice. But most importantly, I would say that if you don't ask, you don't learn. So it doesn't matter if you're exposed in different cultures, but you have to be open to learn and to have a platform of give and take of information. So being able to learn, to ask, to learn, and eventually to adapt your own views, be what I call culturally intelligent. So it's not really accepting, but it's being open to accept the changes that you're willing to make, the tendency to appreciate differences and improvements in your own views, which eventually make you a better person, a better manager, and for my own position, a better academic. It's really interesting and important that you ask this, because I have a feeling that through globalization and the challenges of globalization going on right now, after 20 years since its implementation, we are called upon to rethink our views of how things are done and how we operate our organizations. And it's exactly these elements that we teach in our MBA, because the specifically this MBA program is targeted towards understanding not only the local realities, but the international realities through the understanding and implementation of the frameworks that are taught within the programs. So, for example, this is very evident in the UCM MBA program, there are a couple of modules that specifically relate to managing internationally, but understanding the local realities as well. And these are in marketing and managing and leading people, where essentially students will be able to take case studies and analyze them and implement their own framework, their own idea of managing teams locally and internationally through the understanding of the frameworks and their realities.
And going back, we sort of started discussing when you studied your own MBA, and then we've discussed a little bit about the UCM MBA and then moving wider into the worldwide implications of studies and leadership and management culture. I mean, what does it feel like to achieve that MBA? Because I think you mentioned before about how it's a badge of honour, and you recognise other people who have an MBA, and it sort of brings you this new network. So I just wanted to sort of go back to the beginning there with, you know, how that felt.
Yes. So obviously everybody has their own aspirations and their own reasons for doing an MBA. My personal experience was unique in a sense that I knew why I was doing it, I was looking for that academic attainment as well as the inclusion of as much knowledge as I could take through the frameworks, through the specific knowledge that an MBA will give me within the disciplines of management, leadership, marketing, finance, whatever have you. But I will tell you that the feeling after you graduate is unique, not only on an individual level, but as a on a practical sense, because you belong to, first of all, an international cohort, MBAs. This is the badge that you very correctly noted before. You are part of an international community, meaning that you can talk the same language, exchange ideas based on same taught elements, understanding the challenges and opportunities of today's business world within the context of individual industries. And this is an attainment that has no deadline. So, you know, once you get your MBA, you belong to that cohort. This is it. But apart from this, Andrew, there are very succinct advantages as well that I have seen practically coming into my own professional world. First of all, I was viewed differently. I was viewed from my colleagues and obviously the senior leadership team within the different companies that I was working as more aware of not only how to understand the realities of the business world, but how to apply my knowledge. And this is of particular importance because the MBA teaches you not only the theory, but the application of the theory. There is no importance for somebody to remember the theories if they cannot apply them. And this is what we underline here. And I have seen it in my own experience as well. The second most important attribute that I will say changed my life is the fact that through the MBA, I was more able to disseminate information in a more practical manner for decision making. So it gave me the opportunity to move fast into senior leadership positions, just because I knew what exactly was needed and I knew how to give solutions, or at least how to propose solutions to be implemented.
Great. And then just finally, your elevator pitch, if you will. Why should students consider studying on our MBA?
Thank you. So the UCM MBA in construction and real estate industries is, first of all, an industry-recognized MBA. And this is very important because not only it's accredited by renowned, globally acceptable professional bodies, such as RICS, the CIOB, CABE of Engineers, and Hong Kong, the Hong Kong Institute of Real Estate, but also because it is, it will give you the ability to understand the ever-changing and competitive environment in succinct ways. It is designed for ambitious and experienced real estate and construction professionals. And if you are seeking an accelerated route into senior management, it will be a very good start for you to attain this MBA program. One more thing that I would have to underline here, Andrew, is the fact that any student and every student makes their own experience valuable within any program. And we understand this in the MBA, and we have made a lot of improvements and a lot of changes towards that academic journey of students being as linear, as easy to follow, and as valuable. Not only do we have industry experts teaching the modules, but we have a supportive team behind the academic team that will be on the side, ready to answer any non-academic question and give solutions to our students, because we understand that they're working full time, that they're under a lot of stress, and that we want them to succeed. We want them to graduate. So this is essentially these are essentially, I would say, the most important valuable elements for somebody studying and graduating with a UCM MBA in construction and real estate.
Fantastic. So thank you very much for your time, Marios. And if you would like to ask Marios any questions about the MBA, he is holding an open hour next Friday, 10th of July, where you can submit your questions. Head to our website, ucem.ac.uk, and select webinars from the left-hand panel to find out more. For more information on the MBA, visit the Study with UCEM section on our website. And that's about it. So thanks again, Marios.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for the opportunity. And I'm wishing everybody good luck with everything, staying safe and healthy. And as you said, for more information, please drop me a line or through your links, and we take it from there. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening.